The New World Order globalists are deadly serious about their plans for rebuilding Babylon, and they're not stopping. Their goal is a one-world government with a single leader to rule the world. Of course, there are many underlings doing his bidding already at work in nations around the world to destroy their own national sovereignty and prepare the way for this tyrannical control of planet Earth. Here in America, we've seen the deliberate importation of millions of so-called migrants flooding our borders. Our southern border has been most visible, but make no mistake, the northern border is just as open as are our west and east coastlines. We're literally being invaded on all sides, and the majority of those coming to this country illegally are not seeking refuge. Very few sincerely desire to become American citizens. Most are here as enemy combatants, even as we see them enter our country waving the flags of the countries they're supposedly escaping from. We all know about the millions of single military-age men our government is importing, equipping with food, shelter, clothing, cash, cell phones, and anything else they might want or need for their upcoming mission. We also know about the hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied minors coming into this country. It was recently reported that our government has simply lost 87,000 children who came to this country through our southern border alone. When questions and allegations are raised concerning child sex trafficking, the complicit mainstream media immediately labels it fake news and conspiracy theories. But meanwhile, where are the children? Non-governmental agencies, including many so-called Christian charities, are also involved in this process. They receive enormous funding from the government based on how many individuals they can process illegally and settle into this country. Meanwhile, politicians who are supposed to be our public servants are also getting filthy rich from this invasion of our homeland. These include Republican senators, congressmen, and governors. You know, the ones that are supposed to be the good guys. You should know and understand this illegal invasion is not just happening here in the U.S. It's going on in every Western nation in the world. In Europe, the citizens of some nations are pushing back against this much more vigorously than we are. Because those who are invited to invade other nations don't care about the people of the countries they're invading. Most are from third world countries where there is very little concern about the sanctity of human life. Most come to plunder, steal, and destroy, and they're being funded by the very countries they're invading. This is by design. You see, America is not alone in this. These invasions are happening in all the Western nations. When migrants recently destroyed construction equipment at a building site in Ireland, a site that was being developed to house thousands of illegals in new luxurious homes, the local citizens began to push back. Now the construction company there has pulled out of the deal. Irish citizens are making it clear they want the illegals gone, but the government leaders there are still determined to continue importing so-called refugees. In London, the situation's gotten so bad that there are now 90 no-go zones in that city alone. These are areas where locals, including local police, don't dare enter because these areas are now ruled by foreign gangs, mostly Islamic, and to enter a no-go zone means almost certain death. Women and children are being raped and murdered even beyond the no-go zones in England. The same is happening in France, Germany, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. So far, few here in the U.S. see any real signs of serious danger. But I've been warning of the impending disaster this unchecked invasion poses for years now. And while the exploitation of children, the raping and murder of women is hidden from our view by our mainstream media, there are far too many families here who've already lost loved ones, had their land, homes, and businesses destroyed, and have been victims of violent crimes perpetrated by these invaders. Now, squatters who break into homes in America have more rights to the property than the homeowners themselves. Still, most don't see much of this because we're not supposed to see it yet. It's much like all the lies and deceptions imposed upon us during the COVID scamdemic. At first, most people didn't catch on to what was really happening. By the time they did, it was too late. Let us never forget what happened. People were forced to stay home. Businesses and churches were forced to close down. People were forced to wear masks and stand 6 feet apart whenever they were allowed to go out in public. Did it not seem strange to you that within one day of the start of the COVID lockdowns, online retailers and big box stores were all stocked up with a wide variety of custom-made face masks? In less than a week, Walmart stores coast to coast were featuring racks filled with masks, and those racks came complete with mirrors, so you could try one on and see how it looked on you, then put it back and try another and another. How sanitary was that? Speaking of sanitary, antibacterial hand sanitizer sales soared, and there was antibacterial hand sanitizer everywhere you went. But I thought it was supposed to be a virus. I was always told that bacterial infections were different from viruses, and you couldn't treat viruses with antibacterial meds. But maybe I think too much. Let's also remember what they did to kids. Public playgrounds were not only shut down, but playground equipment was wrapped in plastic snow fencing to make sure kids didn't play. People reported neighbors' kids to police if they saw them playing outdoors in their own backyards. When restaurants finally opened again many months later, you had to wear a mask to enter, but you could take it off once you were seated at a table. Tables and booths in restaurants were separated by clear plastic sheeting. The plexiglass industry also made some huge profits. In most places, those plexiglass barricades are still in place. People out walking alone on deserted beaches or swimming alone in the ocean or lakes were forcibly arrested and hauled off to jail. People attending parking lot services at churches, sitting in their cars, the cars parked 6 feet apart, were also arrested. And anyone who dared question the fake science were destroyed on social media. Many medical professionals, doctors, nurses, and scientists lost everything for speaking the truth. Medications that actually work for COVID, which was a weaponized flu, were forbidden and banned. And then there were the stores. Stores considered essential required masking. One home improvement store in my area actually had armed guards at the door to prevent anyone from entering without a mask. If you didn't have a mask, they'd sell you one. If you refused to comply, the police were called. And now recently, the CDC finally came out and admitted that the face masks and social distancing mandates were completely arbitrary. They served no real purpose, something I knew all along and told you about and was ridiculed for saying so. Still today, I see people wearing masks out in public, even while riding bikes or driving alone in their cars. Remember when the jabs were introduced? First, people were incentivized to take them. Free food, free beer, lotteries to win big bucks, and college scholarships were offered. When people were still hesitant, the regime decided no more Mr. Nice Guy. Threats were made to businesses. Employees must be fully jabbed or the companies would face stiff penalties and fines. Health and religious exemptions were denied. People lost their jobs, but likely they saved their lives by not taking these deadly experimental shots. Almost immediately, we saw a massive increase in what they called excess death rates worldwide. Funeral directors and embalmers discovered horrific blood clots in the bodies of those injected. Now we have a surge of what they're calling turbo cancers among the jabbed. People who were previously healthy and vigorous suddenly develop rare cancers and are dead within weeks. And need I mention the financial incentives hospitals receive from COVID patients or the official hospital protocols involving deadly drugs like remdesivir, the only treatment allowed by U.S. hospitals? Remdesivir, in case you didn't know, was tested in Africa years ago, and the tests were abruptly halted because it was killing too many people. Side effects included a dramatic increase in respiratory distress, as well as a literal melting of internal organs. Yet this was the only drug allowed for the treatment of COVID in U.S. hospitals, and few survived it. The lies surrounding COVID were and are astounding. Pfizer wanted 75 years before they released the information on their jabs. When courts demanded they release that information immediately, the truth of the matter came out. These shots are a bioweapon designed for rapid depopulation. Still, social media companies, internet search engines, along with the mainstream press, continue to silence as much truth as they can. Truth tellers are censored and deplatformed, and this is still going on. Since the COVID scamdemic eventually became a tactic that dragged on too long, and in the words of Saul Alinsky, thus became a drag, we've been redirected to other lies to follow. Monkeypox didn't get much traction, so now they've moved on to bird flu. Most certainly, they are right now cooking up something much more deadly. Disease X is in the works, and although the World Health officials have stated they don't know what it will be yet, they've somehow already prepared the vaccine for it. For several years now, the World Health Organization, a part of the UN, has been planning a global pandemic treaty. Talks have been ongoing, and drafts of this new plan have undergone multiple changes and adjustments. For example, they've changed the name of this thing from a treaty to an accord, because in many countries, including the U.S., a treaty must be agreed upon by lawmakers. But an accord can be signed by any president or high-ranking government official. I'm told the final draft could be signed by member nations within just a few weeks now. WHO officials have tried their best to cover their intentions on this, specifically denying this accord will mean individual nations will cede their sovereignty to the WHO when the next pandemic is released. The WHO's General Director Tedros stated, "This is fake news, lies, and conspiracy theories." But we saw what happened when the CDC, the WHO, Tony Fauci and company, and our various current and former government agencies simply ruled, with no lawful authority to do so, that the U.S. must lock down, wear masks, get tested, get a jab or lose your job, or even lose your children. Despite the deliberate disinformation from Tedros and others, the signing of such an agreement would indeed require all nations to follow WHO dictates and mandates. And in the latest version of the WHO's pandemic accord, it clearly states that any nation that signs on to this cannot simply change their mind. They must follow the accord's dictates for 2 years before they can submit their desire to withdraw in writing, and then continue to follow the mandates for one more year before they're released. Interesting that this is coming now, just in time for the most significant presidential election of our lifetimes. Just in time for them to release Disease X or whatever other depopulation protocol they're brewing up. Just in time for the next American Civil War. Just in time for the coming mayhem and attacks by those who've invaded all Western nations. Just in time for World War III. This will mark the absolute end of so-called American freedom. And once this latest scheme is made worldwide law, people will yearn for the good old COVID years. Audio CDs and transcripts of this message are available when you call me at Wisconsin Christian News, 715-486-8066, or email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com and ask for message number 430.